Proverbs. Proverbs 19. Now, you're going to be doing a lot of bouncing around here tonight. I'll give you a forewarning so that you can get your breath and everything. I'm going to use some of you guys to, in fact, quite a few of you guys to read some scripture here. Proverbs chapter 19 to start. Proverbs 19, 3. Proverbs 19, 3. 19:3, the foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Proverbs 22, and verse 15, we'll comment on these in just a second. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. I know that you like that one. Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30, verse 21. Proverbs 30, 21. For three things the earth is disquieted, and for four which it cannot bear. For a servant when he reigneth, and a fool when he's filled with meat. For an odious woman when she's married, and a handmaid that is heir to her mistress. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we come to you here tonight looking for light and some help, Lord, and mostly help and caution, prevention, Lord. We appreciate what you have to say about us, even when it's not positive. And so we pray you'd help us here tonight, Lord, help folks be able to stay attuned, though we'll be running through a lot of things here for just a little bit. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the three things common in those passages are as a subject of foolishness. And so I'll grant you that the subject tonight can turn kind of brutal if we're not careful here. I want you to know that it's not my intention to bring out the scourges and the whips and the cat of nine tails and all those sorts of things and torture us all and all that kind of stuff here tonight. What I'm after is a reminder to remind us all of our natural tendency. It said back there that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And no matter how much we got a whooping when we were young, most of the foolishness didn't get driven out. we have a natural tendency towards things. What I have to say tonight is preventative. It's a reminder that you are called to grow in knowledge and in grace and in wisdom and in prudence and in discretion. And it's also really easy to stagnate. You know, you've seen it now, of course, for a long time. Somebody gets saved, a juvenile gets saved, and so on. And as far as you can tell, beyond some really minor steps of growth, maybe while you have them cornered and pegged, and frankly, they're still in jail, they stagnate after that. And folks, you can't afford to stagnate. And that's what I'm trying to show here tonight. So not coming after anybody and not trying to humiliate anybody at all. Not that I know that I could anyway. But I remember when I was in Bible school, going through school with some guys. There's one fellow in particular, and I don't remember everything about the story, but he said that he was having some sort of problems, and he had a buddy of his that they had been buddies for a long time. And one night after school, I guess they went and sit down at one of these guys' houses, talk about this one guy's problem, see if they could get him some help and something. And somehow or another, they wound up doing a Bible study on foolishness. And the fellow that was seeking help came and told me later, he said, man, he said, I came out of that thing absolutely humiliated. Just studying the fool and realizing that's what I was. Now, there are scores and scores of verses on fools and foolishness. So much information that it's quickly overwhelming and largely undigestible at one setting. I know all that. But to start with here for just a few minutes, just look at Proverbs 19. Let me show you two or three things out of the passages we've looked at. And then I'm going to be asking for some help from some of you to read some, because what this is going to be a big, a lot of verses and a survey of some things with just some comment, you know, in between. And hopefully you can get some help with it. And mainly the admonition here is that we need to grow, folks, in grace and knowledge. I know that you are. I know that you're trying to. But you don't want to be a fool. And you don't want to stay a fool. And you don't want to retrograde. And you don't want to stagnate. Right? And that's what our tendency is. Our tendency spiritually is couch potato city. Retrogression and just going back to whatever you were before you got ahead. Right? Now, in Proverbs 19:3, it says there that the foolishness of man perverteth his way. Now, that's a pretty straightforward, but that's strong language. The foolishness of man perverteth his way. That is the word from which comes perverts. The foolishness of man messes everything up. It messes all the ways of man up. Anytime you look out in the world and you see man messed up, the reason man's messed up, yeah, it's sin, and yeah, it's the devil, and yeah, it's the world, and yeah, it's flesh, but it's foolishness, right? The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and that's the reason why Proverbs says that the thought of foolishness is sin, is because the foolishness of man perverteth his way. And when you go start that way, there is no rainbow at the end of that road, at the end of that way, because the foolishness of man perverteth his way. If you want to know what's wrong with you and me, beside the big answer, which is sin, the answer is your own foolishness. Right? All right, now there's something else here. Looking at Proverbs 22, and these are just introductory. And I know it's a sharp enough knife on these things. But hopefully, like I said, this is not going to be a big old stick with a spike at the end of it and everybody getting wailed on here tonight. More than anything else, it's preventative. Now look in Proverbs 22 and go down to verse 15. And I know you know this verse. Anybody that has kids in our crowd knows this verse. Bless God. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. It's bound in his heart. That's the first statement. And so it's natural. Foolishness is natural, not just to kids, but those who grow up from being kids. Foolishness is a natural state, right? That's the way we are. We're born wrong, and that old character follows us until the day we die, basically. And so measures need to be taken. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now, what happens after the kid grows up and the kid is an adult? What takes care of the foolishness then? Well, that's a good question, isn't it? You say, well, for saved people, the Lord takes care of the foolishness. Yep, you know, the Lord, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And that's a blessing. That's very true. For lost people, the Lord tries, and maybe lost people don't see it. And so maybe they continue to just to go down into foolishness further and further. Right? Now, again, in Proverbs chapter 30, Proverbs 30, verse 22. And I get used to turning here tonight because you're going to be going 90 miles an hour here. Proverbs chapter 30 and go down to verse 21. Now, for three things the earth is disquieted, and for four which it cannot bear. Okay, I'm not going to comment on a servant when he reigneth or an odious woman when she's married, although it would be a good time for a Hillary joke, but never mind. But verse 23, and a handmaid, I'm not going to talk about that. I'm talking about a fool when he's filled with meat. It says there that that is disquieting to the earth. Apparently some sort of a spiritual balance, the spiritual order of things is offended when a fool has a belly full of meat, because it's not seemly. A fool ought not be full. A fool, and the implication is that that balance won't stay that way. That it's odious enough to nature, to the earth, to I'm assuming the spiritual balance of things, that the Lord's going to see to it that a fool does not stay full all the time. Okay? Now, I have one more passage for you to turn to before we turn to a bunch of other passages, so that didn't make sense what I said at all there, did it? Proverbs 23, one more passage to turn to before you turn to the rest of them, whatever that means. Proverbs 23, and Proverbs 23 is a great promise for me and you. And you'll see why I bring this up, although a fool is not in this passage. Proverbs 23, verse 15, my son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. All right, verse 15, my son, one of God's kids, right? And in verse 17, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there's an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Child of God, you do the right thing and don't envy sinners, and you trust the Lord and stay with Him, and you have an expectation that's sure. You're going to wind up in heaven in a mansion, and you're going to rule with Jesus Christ in the millennium. Okay? That is a sure expectation. That's God's child's, that's a wise man's expectation. That's somebody that saves expectation. What is a fool's expectation? Okay? And the Bible doesn't address directly in so many words a fool's expectation, but just from taking a survey, and I don't even think that I touched half of this, folks, so don't think this is in any way exhaustive, but I hope to overwhelm you tonight with the Bible evidence of it. Okay, not to humiliate, but to help. What is a fool's expectation? I'm going to need some help here. You're close enough to Proverbs chapter 30 again to go back there. Dr. Hanks, would you grab Matthew 7:26, please? And David, Proverbs 26:10. And Bryce, Job 5:3-4. And Eric, Psalm 5:5. And John, Luke 12:20. Everybody got it? All right. In Proverbs chapter 30, we've been here twice already, but we're going back again. Notice in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 22, one of the things earth is going to be disquieted for is a fool when he is filled with meat. And the idea being that when a fool's belly's full, Lord apparently is going to do something to keep that guy from keeping a full belly. Honor is not seemly for a fool. And apparently the threat is that the Lord's going to do something to keep a fool from really, truly being satisfied in this life and in short, keeping a full belly. Okay? Now, what I gather from that, and we'll look at some other passages here, is we're talking about a fool's expectation. We know what a Christian's expectation is. Surely thine expectation shall not be cut off, right? Well, you know what? A fool shouldn't expect all of his planning and all of his building to amount to much. All right? For instance, Dr. Hanks, Matthew chapter 7, verse 26, you want to read that real loud for me? And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. That man's a fool. He tried building his house without proper footings. He tried to build his house on the sand. And for all the planning and the blueprints and the expense and the building, it all came to nothing because he built his house on the sand, and the floods came and washed it away, right? One of the things you have to watch for, one of the things that you ought to count the blessing is that you've been given a Bible, and you get to come to a place where you can hear from God and keep from building and planning on a foolish foundation. Because, folks, a fool shouldn't expect all of his planning and all of his building to stand. It won't amount to much. Proverbs 26:10 there, David. See, he rewardeth the fool, and he rewardeth transgressors. Now, he rewards fools and transgressors by doing what? Well, an awful lot of times by tearing up what they're trying to do. Amen? Job 5, 2 and 3 there, Bryce.
For wrath killeth the foolish man, and
envy slayeth
the silly one. I have seen the foolish taken with the suddenly
all right. A couple more. I've seen the foolish taking root, and it sure looks like that they're going to get a solid, you know, a solid grasp on things. But it seldom works out that way, does it? Look at Psalm 5:5 there, Eric. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Luke 12:20 there, John. Real loud. See, this guy had big plans, right? I mean, he's going to build bigger barns to make room for all of his crops, and he's going to eat, drink, and enjoy himself, and you know, soul, take thy rest, and all that kind of stuff. And the Lord said, "You're a fool, and tonight thy soul shall be required of thee." You see, what I'm reading here is that the Lord undertakes to undermine all the planning and all the building of a foolish man. Now, folks, I've learned a lesson. All right. I've learned the lesson that I need the Lord's blessing on what I do. Okay? If except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Okay? The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. In Luke chapter 5, those guys went out and they fished all night, and they fished and fished and fished and caught nothing. And yet the next morning Jesus Christ came out there when the fish weren't running, had them cast their boat out, preached from it for a little while, and then he said, "You pitch your net right over there," and they came out with a great draught, right? See, folks, I don't care how well you've planned, and I don't care how magnanimous you're building, I don't care how ornamental it is, I don't care how grand or anything else. If the Lord doesn't bless what you're trying to do, it's not blessed. And if the Lord doesn't bless what you're doing, you have nothing but a mess. Nebuchadnezzar learned that walking through his palace and said one day, you know, look at the majesty, look at the gloriousness of all this stuff that I have built. And the Lord drew the line on him there as promised and took his mind from him. And within the hour, that guy is out in the backyard eating grass. Now listen, folks, a fool, as far as his expectation, if this admonition is not to, like I said, bludgeon anybody here to death, it's simply to say that if you were a fool, you would expect God not to bless anything you're planning or anything you're doing. You have no reason to expect him to do that. Folks, you've been given a great commission. You need to make decisions that God can bless. You need to make decisions that God can use. I need to be somebody that God can bless. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Now, you know what? In this world, that doesn't make a man great at all. I mean, not sitting in the seat of the scornful. Not doing those things. That doesn't mean anything to this world, but it means something to God. And what it means to God is that when He then tells you to do something else, He can bless you for having done that thing right. There's nothing greater than the Lord's blessing. I don't need to be somebody that God thwarts, that God resists, that when I do something, He says, "I'm not going to let him do that. Because he didn't turn to me, he didn't look at me, he's not walked in the law of the Lord, he is not, he has sat in the seat of the scornful." You understand what I'm saying? So folks, a fool should not expect all of his planning and so on to go well. You know, a fool really should just stay home in bed. If you're going to be a fool, you know, just stay home in bed. Because anything you do, It's not going to work out well. And that's why, folks, you know, for most of us here tonight, for all of us here tonight, the admonition is to just not be a fool, because if you do, you just might as well stay home in bed. Now, maybe you want to stay home in bed. I don't know. But it's not good. All right, I want you to see something else. Now, I have a whole bunch of verses here. Robert, Proverbs 9:13. Caleb, Proverbs 10:14. Daniel, Proverbs 14:3 and 16. PJ, Proverbs 14:33. Nick, Proverbs 15:2. Andrew, did I miss anybody? What? Proverbs 9:13. These are teenage boys. We better start right now, and then I'll hit some more later. Start with Proverbs. Proverbs 9:13 there, Robert. Stand up and read it. You didn't hear that word? A foolish woman is clamorous. Proverbs 10:14. Okay, the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. I need you guys to stand up and yell like you're yelling at your sisters. Proverbs 14:3 there, Daniel. And 14:16. Okay, look at what's coming out here. In the mouth of the foolish, a rod of pride. The lips of the wise shall preserve them. Again, in that verse, the fool rages and is confident. PJ 14:33. All right, Nick 15:2. I'll stop there to say, you see what's happening here, folks? The mouth of the fool keeps coming out. There are talkers all about us. And boy, do we know about the talkers this time of year at this particular juncture in an election. Boy, they can talk, can they not? They can talk and say a lot of nothing. Most of you remember what it's like before you got saved, sitting around talking with the guys and talking with the gals, and even if it wasn't nasty or filthy or dirty, it was just a lot of junk, wasn't it? You know, folks, in the end, when you get done with these verses, and we have some more to go, one of the expectations that a fool should have is, well, he just shouldn't talk. He should just keep his mouth shut. He'd be better off, because God's going to overthrow what he's saying. Where am I at here? Brother Grissom, we're back to you. Proverbs 12:23, Josh, Proverbs 19:1, Isaac, Proverbs 18:6 and 7, Brother Darling, Proverbs 24:7, Brother Nelson, Proverbs 26:7, hitting my guy, Frank, Proverbs 29:11, and Mike, Proverbs or Ecclesiastes 5:3. Okay, Brother Grissom, Proverbs 12.
A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness.
They're talking. They're proclaiming foolishness. Proverbs 19:1.
Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool.
Proverbs 18:6 and 7. Proverbs 29:11. Ecclesiastes 5:3. You know, folks, what you gather from all this, one of the expectations of a fool is that no matter what he says, it's not going to be much good. You know what a fool needs to do? He not only needs to stay home in bed, he needs to keep his mouth shut. He can't afford to go out and open his mouth. Now, what I'm getting at here, folks, is that you've been delivered a great thing. You've been delivered the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've been given a Bible, right? You've been given the stewardship in part. You've been given a little bit of a heritage in a church that's preaching and teaching the Bible, responsible for putting out the light of the Word of God out to the world. And you know what you ought to do? You ought to thank God that you have something to say. Because you had nothing to say before you were saved. You had nothing to offer anybody. You might have been a grand fellow. You might have been able to, you might have been working in a boys' club or something trying to help somebody. But without the truth of God and the counsel of Jesus Christ, what you had was no good. You were a foolish man just trying to counsel other fools. And you know, by the time it all works out, the fool's expectations have to do with the fact that he shouldn't talk. He should just stay home in bed, because anything that he plans and anything that he builds, God's going to try to thwart and overthrow it, because he does not suffer fools. Right? Now again, this is not a bludgeon. This is not a bludgeon for me and you. It ought to be a little bit of a prod, a little bit of a poke to realize, folks, that we've been delivered something grand and glorious. And when you were made a new creature in Jesus Christ, you had an opportunity to start afresh as a new creature in Jesus Christ. You get an opportunity to get up every morning, put the old man down and put the new man on, and live for God. Right? You have something to say. You have something to do. So don't stagnate. Don't give in to the flesh, to the old carnal nature. Don't give in. Don't become a spiritual couch potato. Amen? All right, look at something else. I'll tell you something else about a fool. I need my next round of guys. Brother Conrads and Brother Chris, would you grab Proverbs 17:10? No. Proverbs 9:6. Nate, would you grab Proverbs 14:7? Brother Paul, would you grab Proverbs 13:20? And Denny, would you grab Proverbs 29:9? All right, Brother Chris, start with you. All right, forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. Now, I'll tell you what this is before I get started. You know, one of the things, if a man is a fool, what his expectation should be, he should not expect to keep many friends. For instance, here in this passage, the admonition is to forsake the foolish and live. So, if somebody is obeying God and you're a fool, they're supposed to leave you. And if they don't leave you, the implication anyway, the verse says, forsake the foolish and live. And the implication is, don't forsake the foolish and die. So I'm going to tell you this. If they obey God, they leave you. If they disobey God, they stay and die. You're not going to keep friends that way. Right? Does that make sense? Nate, Proverbs, 14:7. Man, there God is again, trying to break up my friendships. If I'm a fool, he's telling my friend to forsake and leave the presence of, well, of me. Brother Paul, Proverbs 13:20. Okay, different Paul, but that works fine. Yeah, it is. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools. There we are again, man. If I'm a fool, Lord is telling my companions that he's going to whoop up on them. Well, so if they listen to him, I'm going to wind up friendless before this thing is all over. Proverbs 29:9 back there, Denny. So, when a wise man comes and contends with me, a foolish man, no matter what he does, there is no rest. If there's no rest, he's going to get tired of it. He's going to get fed up with it. And he's going to quit talking to me. Right? Look in real quick, Proverbs 26. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 4. These two verses of Scripture have been a dilemma for people. There's no reason they should be. Proverbs 26:4, it gives you two different kind of strategies for dealing with a foolish man. Proverbs 26:4, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. That's not a contradiction. That's an issue of you've been given a choice and that you should pray or whatever about how to deal with a fool. Answer not a fool, answer a fool. Sometimes you may need to answer a fool. Sometimes you may need not to answer a fool. Okay, but let's say I'm the fool. You have to make up your mind whether you're going to answer a fool or not answer a fool. If you don't answer me, you know what I'm going to say? I mean, I'm going to yak at you and so on, and I'm going to say, what do you think? And you're going to turn and walk away. I'm going to say, well, that's rude. Right? And then if you do answer me according to my folly, then I'm going to go, well, I didn't know you felt that way about it. Either way, I'm offended, and either way, you're rude, and I won't keep friends that way. You see that thing? Now, folks, you know what the expectation of a fool is a fool should expect that his words not be listened to. The fact is that God's going to overthrow his words, that the Lord's going to overthrow his plans and his building. You know, the Tower of Babel, everything that those men tried to do, the Lord came down and undertook to tear it up and did tear it up. I mean, if I'm a fool, my expectation should be that all of my plans and all of my building should fail, that the words that I speak aren't any good, so I should just stay home in bed, I should not talk, and I should expect not to keep very many friends. If there are any friends that stick around, are they even worth having? They apparently are bigger fools than I am. You see, folks, I tell you what I believe. I believe that God will undermine your friendships too. I believe that if you have, you know, to whom much is given, much shall be required. You have light, and you've been given light about what kind of man, what kind of woman the Lord wants you to be, what kind of teenager the Lord wants you to be, and you won't be that. You continue to tread down the path that a fool trods. I think the Lord will undermine your friendships. I really do. I really do. Now, you know what, folks? You don't want to be the kind of people that God doesn't want his people hanging around. Right? All right, there's something else. Let's see. Okay, Paul Oberlander. I'm back to you. I'm going to work my way up to you, Paul Davis. 17:10 there, Paul. And Proverbs 19:29 there, Matt Caravu. And Brother Baudet, number Proverbs 26:3. Cody, Proverbs 26:9. Brother Caravu, Steve, 27:22. All right, 17:10. Brother Matt. This is getting ugly fast. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. Take a guy out in a public square and whip him. You know, give him 100 stripes. That does him less good than for a wise man just telling him, would you quit that? Right? And judgments are prepared for scorners and stripes for the back of fools. All right, 26:3. Was that Brother Baudet? Boy, the fool's back's getting worn out, isn't it? Proverbs 26:9 there, Cody. All right, so a drunkard's stumbling along. He's coming home from a big night on the town and leans on the post there, and there's some sort of a thorn bush there, and he takes a thorn up into his hand. Well, that's the same way as a fool trying to talk about the Bible and expound some of the Lord's parables on KTIS. Okay? But it's, but it's not a pleasant thing. As a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth, he's speaking again of fools. All right, Proverbs 27:22 there, Brother Steve. Put a fool, you know, you take wheat and put it in a mortar, which is, you know, usually a stone concave bowl, and you take a pestle, which is a stick with a knob on the end of it, and you take it in there and you grind up the wheat to separate, you know, the chaff from the grain, and then you grind it up more so you can make bread or whatever. You throw a fool in there, and you take that pestle and that mortar and grind him up with that grain, and it says, though thou shouldst bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle, sounds like a pleasant experience, doesn't it? Yet will not his foolishness depart from him. You know what I learned from that, folks? I tell you what a fool's expectation should be. A fool should expect some hard lessons. I mean, the rod for a fool's back, I mean, that fool's back got a working over here earlier, didn't it? And then, though thou shouldst bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle, that even then his foolishness will not depart from him. Folks, a fool should expect some real hard lessons. I talked to a guy one time. In fact, some of you know, is Tim Jordy's brother. His name is Steve. And he was an Army Ranger for a while. And he was out of the Army by the time I talked to him. And I went to talk to him, and he told me that he was going to go through the tribulation and eat roaches and bugs and stuff and survive so that he could see all this take place and then he'd get saved in the end. Now, he didn't do that. I'm glad that he didn't. But there's a guy asking for harder lessons than he knows. You know, understand? Now, folks, hardships can come any way, you know that. Endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. But you know what? You don't want trouble any more than I do. I imagine most of you are as big a sissies as I am. Most of us do not go around pleading and asking for trouble. I mean, we get mad when a tire's flat and when the radiator hose blows. You don't, you know, stand up and applaud, say, oh, goody, I was looking forward to this. You don't do that, and you don't do that when other more serious things go wrong. You don't want to ensure hard lessons. And you know, folks, some people embark on life, and they're told that you're being a fool in going forward with this. And they go anyway. And then when the crop is sown and then the need for reaping comes, you know, the important thing, young folks, to remember about sowing hard lessons, so you're going to get a 2x4 upside the head, is God doesn't always stop the lesson when you say uncle. Now, you know what? If you and I wrestle and I take you down and get your arm up, you know, wrapped around your left earlobe, and you say, okay, all right, I'll quit. But it doesn't mean that God will. Okay? I mean, sometimes you get into one of those things. You say, okay, I learned my lesson. Let me tell you something. There are women that learned their lesson about having an abortion. And after they learned their lesson, the nightmares still are there. Right? Got news for you. Child support doesn't stop being paid. when you say, okay, Lord, I learned that I shouldn't commit adultery. Right? I mean, you still get to pay child support. You know what I'm saying? All right, now, folks, a fool's expectation, he should expect hard lessons. Now, you know what? One of the greatest blessings that you and I have in this world, well, two of the greatest blessings that you and I have in this world are, one, a Bible, and two, a church that preaches the Bible. Because you know what you get to do? Rather than go sow sin and reap sin through a lifetime and be chastened by the Lord in sometimes immeasurably hard ways, you know what you get to do? You get to come to church, get yelled at three times a week, make corrections, and that's all the pain there is. Now, you know what? A lot of people don't like hard preaching, but it beats a rod on the back 100 times. Okay? It beats being brayed in a mortar among wheat with a pestle. Some people don't like reading the Bible, but I tell you what, reading the Bible, it beats a long way of you having to learn the hard way that you will pay for pornography, for adultery, for fornication, for idolatry, for cursing, for swearing. You will pay. And you reading your Bible is one of the greatest treasures that you have. You coming to church and letting somebody yell in your face is one of the greatest treasures you have, because it's an easy lesson. It's an easy lesson. You know, a fool's expectation, he should expect some hard lessons. I don't have too much more here, but some. Paul, you're up again. Proverbs 9:13. Then we're going to go back across to Dr. Hanks. Proverbs 1:7. I would assign you Jesus wept, but it doesn't fit in here at all. he knows that one. David, Proverbs 10:21. Bryce, Proverbs 14:8. Eric, Proverbs 15:5. And John, Proverbs 5:21. All right, 9:13. She's clamorous. Anytime anybody says something, she's out in front rattling the pans. Blah, 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 blah. She has an opinion about Obama. She has an opinion about John McCain. She has an opinion about everybody. She calls all the radio talks. Blah, 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 blah. She's clamorous, okay? She clamors a lot. Says there, though, that a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. She runs her mouth all the time. She doesn't know anything. Now, I believe it's the same thing of a clamorous man, but it's specified a woman. All right, Brother Hanks.
Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge.
Okay, knowledge. 10:21. Fools die for want of wisdom. She's talking, blah, 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 Obama and Hillary and blah, blah, and Palin, blah, 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 blah. And then she dies and still knows nothing. 14:8. The folly of fools. I mean, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. I mean, you folks have been in church for a long time. A lot of you have been saved for a long time. I know you don't know everything, and you would never suggest that you know everything. But you know more than you knew when you were lost. And you know a lot more than a lot of people that go to the Methodist church. Okay? I mean, the way the prudent, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. I mean, the fool's folly is he's just deceived about everything. I mean, they are so convicted that Obama would be so great for the country. Blah, 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 blah. They know nothing. Who was that? Okay, I'll be quiet. 15:5. Yeah. He that regardeth reproof is prudent. Okay, I'll break there and say, you know, one of the expectations of a fool is that he shouldn't expect to know or learn anything that matters. She's clamorous, always has an opinion. Blah, 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 blah. She doesn't know anything. See, I don't know about you. I think Obama is an empty suit. I think he might just be I don't know who's operating the jaw thing. But I think he might be a puppet. I think he's an empty suit. Okay? But blah, 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 blah. Talking, 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 talking. All right? Now, folks, you know, a fool shouldn't expect to learn or know anything that matters. Man, you may be good at Trivial Pursuit. I don't really know. Does it matter? I don't care how many baseball statistics and football statistics you can spout off. I don't care when you go to work if you talk about the Packers or the Vikings or Brett Favre's record or anything else. You know, in the end, does that matter, a hill of beans? Absolutely not. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong for you to talk about the Packers once in a while, but God help you that you have some sort of treasure beyond that between your waxy ears. Now, listen, folks, a fool, the problem with a fool is that he shouldn't expect to know or learn anything that matters because his heart's not given to it. I mean, you know, that's what I mean, is you have an opportunity to come here and you can learn something about the eternal, omniscient, omnipotent, loving God every time you show up here. You have a book that sits on your reading table at home that offers you light on eternity every time you open it up. And it's really the only thing worth perusing. But, so don't be a fool. Don't get involved in a bunch of nonsense. I think you should stay at a reasonable distance from an election, for that matter. You know why? Because in the end, what you're dealing with here is the true treasure. Okay? A fool shouldn't expect to learn or know anything about anything that matters. Come on, folks. Who won the Super Bowl 6 years ago? I don't know. Really? Who won the Super Bowl last year? How many actually know? Handful. Three or four. Not bad. Backsliders. Anyway. All right. Who didn't read? John, you didn't read. 1725, John. Just a couple more here. And Robert, 1913. Caleb, 10:1. Daniel, 1721. PJ, 1520. All right, 1725. Okay, you guys speak up. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. 1721. All right, 10:1. Heaviness of his mother, calamity of his father, a grief to his father, bitterness to her that bare him. Daniel. And finally, PJ. You know, we talked about the expectation of a sunk child of God. Thine expectation shall not be cut off, right? One of the expectations of a fool is he should expect to cause a heap of grief. Okay? To mother, to father, to his heavenly father. You have a mother. You have a spiritual mother. You know what she is, right? She sees New Jerusalem. Okay? And I don't know if she's looking on or not, but a fool's expectation is to cause a whole heap of grief. And I have one more thing for you. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. A fool shouldn't expect his building and all of his planning to amount to much. He shouldn't expect his words to amount to anything. He should stay home in bed. He should not speak. He should not expect to keep many friends. He should expect hard lessons in life, and probably not to really learn anything that matters. He should expect to not learn or know in the end of his life anything that really matters. You think about some of these congressmen that have never lifted their hand to a plow, have spent their entire lives in politics. They die off, you know, with their pensions and stuff. And what do they really know? Know how to wiggle their way through a quasi-corrupt system? Know how to compromise? Know how to prostitute what principles they have? What good is that? That's why a Christian doesn't make a very good politician. They should expect to cause a heap of grief. A foolish son is the calamity of his mother. It's a calamity. It's a bad thing. It's a calamity. And in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 35, it says, "The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools." In the end, you know, a fool should expect a marred inheritance. It says there that a wise man will inherit glory. Not only something glorious, but glory. Heaven. A mansion. Presence of God. Presence of the angels. See with your very own two beady little eyes what we were studying up here this morning in Sunday school. Amen? But it says there that shame shall be the promotion of fools. Get word from your boss. You've been given a promotion. Oh, good. What did I get? Oh, you get to be taken into judgment, stripped naked, and have all of your idle words examined, all of your thoughts, all your works put on a altar, and we'll see what burns up and what doesn't. Shame shall be the promotion of fools. A fool should expect a marred inheritance. Now, folks, this is not intended to have been a brutal beating by any stretch. I figure that most of us should be on pretty decent ground. Stay on decent ground. Don't stagnate. Don't stagnate now. Don't stagnate. Don't be discouraged now. This is no time to be discouraged. Now is not the time to lay down and quit and say, "Well, I've given about all I can give." And you are in the back stretch. This is no time. This is no time for it. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, we pray you'll help us to be wise. We are mostly familiar, Lord, with all the passages warning against being a fool and advocating, exhorting, admonishing wisdom, discretion, and prudence. Pray you'd help us, Lord. We're weak. We know that. We know that even when our spirit is willing, that our flesh is weak. We know that. Your disciples proved that. But at the same time, Father, help us to try. Help us not be discouraged, disappointed in the way. And we pray that you'd help us to not accept the lot of a fool, the expectation of a fool. Your promise to us is that surely there is an end, and our expectation shall not be cut off. We pray that we might not ever have to inherit the fool's lot. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 324. 324. ask you to think about what you're singing here as we sing this little song about wisdom. 324. Opportunity to come if you so desire. Pretty pitiful sometimes how weak we are, isn't it? And yet it is that the Lord called us to all plow this field of wisdom, and the glory of it all is that you don't have to have a vast intelligence or a vast amount of learning either. Lord Jesus Christ had some things to say about little children. And all it takes is a desire to do the right thing, a desire for the truth. Don't accept the fool's lot. Don't stagnate in your human frailty. Sit around, become a spiritual couch potato. Let day after day go by without reading your Bible. Week after week go by without really applying the preaching that you've heard. We're going to be dismissed here in just a couple minutes. We're asking you to look upon our hearts, all that we've received here today, the labor that's gone into it, folks that have served and taught, been faithful, and we pray that you'll help us do the right things with what we've taught and with what we've heard. We just pray that you'll be with us. Give us a good week. I know that there's some folks not here tonight for various reasons, and we just pray you'll be with them and look over them. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last stanza. Last stanza. Good night, everybody. Specials, adult specials.